What I'm going to share is not the only thing. And don't get all sidetracked and say, this is what we've got to be doing. The gospel is broad. And, you know, I love squash. Anyone like a good game of squash? So about three of you. But, you know, squash is really a complicated game. I would imagine pretty much like any sport. You know, you can watch rugby and there's some guys who like the forwards and some who like the backs and some who like the halfback. It's a complicated thing. There's lots of little things. And so what I'm bringing tonight is just one little part of it. And I don't want you to throw away the crib just to keep the baby. Keep it all and let it all make us grow and sort of move forward. Is that okay? Before I forget, one more thing. Girls' night out is Friday night. Josh can't multitask. It's not Saturday. he was a better squash player, I mean table tennis player, but I just wanted to make sure you all know it's a Friday night, the 16th. There we go. Is that all good? Don't come on Saturday, you'll have missed it. Ladies, but I knew all you ladies were onto it, so it wouldn't be a problem for you. Can we just pray before we start? Is that okay? Lord God, we're just so incredibly in awe that we can even just speak to you. The God who made everything, the God who determines our very next heartbeat, and yet all of that doesn't matter right now. You're here and you're in this place and you want to speak to us. And God, I pray that my words would be your words, that it wouldn't just be me speaking. I pray that it would speak to me as much as every single person here. God, and if we can all, by the end of tonight, be one step closer to you, God, we want to be where you are. And we pray tonight, we said, Holy Spirit, come. And we're desperate and we rely on you, Holy Spirit. Nothing that we do and nothing that we say, but it's you, Lord God. And so we do honor you tonight. We put you first and above everything else. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I shared a little bit this morning with the pre-service meeting a verse in Corinthians that says, and we are fully known by God. To be fully known by God. And there's a song Torren Wells sings, I believe it is. And he sings about we are fully known by God. And I don't think we really understand what that means. Because we're standing here going, come Holy Spirit. We are fully known by God, and God knows every single thing you've done this week. Are we still prepared to say, come, Holy Spirit? You know, or is there stuff we need to be looking at in our lives? And so I want to just challenge you with that tonight. I really am enjoying 2018 because it's real easy for me to work out the year I was born again because it's also an 8. So it's exactly 40 years ago, 1978, I got born again. And so I've been in church, you know, who can remember before 10 years old? Anyone? I can't remember much before 10 years old. So sort of from 10, you start remembering. And all I remember is church. You know, I've done church since then. And I've been involved in things. If I was a boxer, you can all tell I'm not a boxer. But they'd have your statistics, you know, 30 fights and 2 KOs and 1 loss and 1 draw. Well, my statistics go like this. Been in church that long. Been saved once, which is really good. I've done 6 funerals. I've done 6 weddings. I was very happy to even that score. And to my greatest detriment, I've led 1 person to Christ. Now, you know, I know afterwards a lot of people come and say, oh, but you've been effective, you've done this. And I know I've preached hundreds of sermons and I've walked journeys with people who are going through real bad stuff. And I know I've encouraged a lot of people. But just coming off increase, I thought, man, you know, what have I really, and 1 person. And I think, man, God, have I wasted 40 years? Now, I know I haven't, and I know that I've been effective, and I'm doing what God wants me to do. And, you know, I had a bicycle shop which closed, and I was thinking, what is going on here? But a week before it closed, or 2 weeks before, one of the guys working there, I sort of was challenging him a bit to come to church, and he came, and he got saved. And the week we closed the bike shop, he got baptized. And I just know, and there's a lot of those stories in my life where God has just made a difference. And I've had people tell me, you know what, I've been coming to this place 2 years just because of the way you greeted me the first time. And I'm like, wow, man, that's amazing. And that person's serving God. So I'm not for 1 minute trying to belittle what we've done as a church. But I just thought, man, 40 years, God, 1 person. you know, if I really, and I do believe with all my heart that we have the greatest, I don't want to use the word secret, but we have the key to life. We have incredible, but are we just keeping it to ourselves, and are we just trying to make it smaller? Because God is way bigger than what any of us are, and it is amazing. I heard something on the radio this week which sort of made me shudder a bit. It said, you will miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Did I say that again? You will miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And I just thought of all the people who have, you all know the feeling, your palms go a bit sweaty, you feel a bit of sweat on your brow, and you think, man, I need to say something here. And the opportunity goes by and you haven't said anything, and maybe you don't talk to that person again. You miss 100% of the people you don't witness to, you miss the chance of them being saved. 100%. And so I want to really encourage us tonight and challenge us. You know, do we realize how short time is? This week I met with someone in the cafe who used to come to the church, and we were just talking. He said, man, just yesterday I spoke to a colleague of mine in Hamilton, and his wife was 45 years old, and she just dropped dead of a heart attack. Wow. Just like that. You know, there was a guy running a marathon today. I mean, I don't know how many of you run marathons, but there's normally a bit of work involved. You train, you're pretty fit, you're on the fitter end of the scale. And he had a heart attack with 3Ks to go. You know, you don't know your time. Just last week, a little boy, 12 years old, at a batch down in Haas, got into a shower and he died. You know, the person that you speak to at work tomorrow, do you know that they're going to see the end of the week? If you were convinced that they might not, how different will the shot be that you're going to take for God? Okay, are we just, you know, when we heard increase, those who had increased, we were just left challenged, you know, and saying, God, you know. And we had a guy come and park in our car park this week, and he was staying in his car one or two nights. And some people weren't happy, and we're not sure whether he should be there or not. I was, what are you using, the toilet? What are you using, et cetera. But you know what? I said to someone, I think it was Joanne, I said, these are the guys that Paul Scanlon was talking about. They're the dudes that should be here. And so, you know, let's keep in tension this whole thing as we walk this quickly. I don't want to 1 minute make small. And then Pastor Alan shared an incredible word this morning. And if you haven't, if you weren't yet, you need to listen to it. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7. I think I've got it on the screen. It says, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. God has given us a challenge. God's not going to boom it into their bedroom tomorrow morning. Oh, there's a warning from God. But he's going to speak through you when you speak to them during the day or when you go out to them. You know, I'll never forget my father-in-law telling me a story. They heard one of the guys in the church was going to leave his wife. So he drove around and he picked up three other guys from the church. And they drove to the guy's house. It was late at night, banged on the door. The guy said, what are you doing? He said, well, we've heard this. We're not leaving till you make right with your wife or you're not getting divorced. And they sat there till about 3 a.m. and that guy's still with his wife today. And that is bringing the warning when you see someone doing something wrong. And, you know, what are we doing? Are we bringing the warning, or are we just living the life? Francis Chan, I was listening to a sermon the other day mowing the lawn, and I started crying. Which you shouldn't do when you're mowing the lawn, but people just thought it was hay fever, so that's okay. And he goes, and he talks about Acts 4 verse 31, and I'll read the verse, Acts 4 verse 31. It says, and after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You know, and what he was saying was he'd pray before services. He'd go into the back room and he'd pray, God, I want you to shake the place. And the story of Elisha when he called down fire and when he said, let there not be rain. And, you know, in James it said, you're just like Elisha, and you can do the same things. And he said, God, why am I not seeing this? And you know, I feel the same. And I say, God, you know, why don't we see these miracles? We hear of these things and we sing a song, which I love, which is Do It Again. We're saying, God, do it again. Why don't we see that? And one of the things I think, are we seeking the signs or are we seeking the sign that people will see God? You know, when Elisha did that and the fire came down, you know what the people said? They didn't elevate Elisha. They said, today we know that there's only one God. And they left worshiping that God. And we need to look at our attitude. You know, why do we want the place to shake? Why do we want to see signs and wonders? You know, the only people in the Bible who asked for signs and wonders were the Pharisees, and Jesus rebuked them. He said, you guys just want signs and wonders to entertain you and impress you.
Yeah.
What you really want is signs and wonders that people see it and go, I want to serve that God. And so it all comes down to the attitude that's in our heart. And that was Elijah, not Elisha, just those who want to correct me. Acts 4 verse 29 says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Acts 4 verse 13, early in that same chapter, it says, and when they saw the courage of Peter and John, courage and the boldness of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished, and they took note of what these men had been saying, and that they were with Jesus. And I'll just, whole lot of other scriptures quickly. Acts 9 verse 28, it said Saul stayed with them, and then he moved around in Jerusalem, speaking boldly. Acts 13 verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, and they spoke the word of God. Acts 14 verse 3, Paul and Barnabas again said they were speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of grace, enabling them to perform signs and wonders. Acts 8 verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Acts 19 verse 8, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly. And Acts 28 verse 31, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus with boldness and without hindrance. And that is the title of my message tonight, is bold, boldness, boldly, whatever you want to call it. You know, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that sometimes we do things in church a little bit different because we find it easier. And so for 40 years, I've served, man, I've OHP, who remembers OHP?
Yeah.
All the OHP ones. Some of you don't even know what OHP is. So overhead projectors. Before we had these fancy things, yeah, we had these little transparencies and you sort of had to move them up and down. And if you got distracted or people would see your fingers or moths and stuff and you had a shot, you could write in the words pretty quickly. I'm not even sure they can type that quick. So I served doing that and I was in youth group and served there and I've served in all sorts. I've done hospitality, and I'm really blessed to be able to be in the cafe now and do all of that. And I've done all of these things, but something that I probably regret and wish the most was I had the boldness to just tell more people about Jesus and just share my faith. And so the title of my message is just bold, boldness, bold. I think I've got a slide there. I'm not sure if they'll find it somewhere. Just, that's it there. That is the title of my message tonight. God, I just want in my heart you to place a boldness that I will just speak and share my faith. You know, now, you know, I'm not ashamed of my faith at all, and I'll always make sure I drop into my conversations. And these are little things I've done to sort of ease my conscience. So I'll drop in, yeah, we're going to church on Sunday, or oh, at church, the speaker was speaking Sunday, and he said this. So, I mean, there's no doubt people that know me know that I go to church, but I just need a boldness that I can just share my faith and say, you know what? I've never told you, but can I tell you how I became a Christian? Or you know what? I've never told you, but can I just tell you what God means in my life? And that's what I'm talking about. It's great that you serve, and I don't want you to stop serving, and I want you to keep coming and doing all of that and bringing people to church. But you know what? It's that boldness that's going to make the difference and see Tauranga changed for Jesus. You know, Pastor Alan shared this morning about, you know, you invite your neighbor to church, but have you ever invited them for dinner? I think sometimes we put the cart in front of the horse. Because you know what? It's easy to bring him to church. Pastor Alan's going to stand here and he'll maybe tell them about the gospel. But if I invite them for dinner, they might ask me some stuff that I can't answer the way Dave Mann answers. And I'm not sure I'll be able to. But you know what? I believe that that's what we're meant to do. If you look at the early church, you read what the early church did. They were in each other's houses daily and they were together eating. And that's how the church grew. And I think sometimes we just get it a little bit different. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Verse 18, therefore go now and make disciples of the nation, baptizing them. And that's what we're doing tonight. We've got a baptism service. And what a step of boldness. Saying, you know what, God, I want to just show everyone the step that I've made for you. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded them and you, and surely I am with you always till the very end of the age. You know, I've even used that scripture sometimes and said, you know, God's going to be with you always in whatever you're doing. But if you read the context of that scripture, when you go out and you are making disciples and proclaiming the word of God, God says, I will be with you.
Yeah.
even till the end. You know, so sometimes we want to use that scripture when we're a bit scared. I don't believe that God's not with you, but I just believe in that verse. God says he will be with you when you are going out making disciples and sharing the word and the word of God. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, in Ephesians 6 verse 19, Paul says, he says, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly and boldly make known the mystery of the gospel." That's Paul who's praying that. That needs to be our prayer every single morning. God, would you just give me a boldness today that I will fearlessly make known this God who I believe has changed the world. And there's a verse that says, when you stand before the leaders, do not fear what you will say, because I will put the words in your mouth. And you know what I really believe, you know, as cool as it'll be to see this place shaking and maybe smoke, or maybe not, we've just had it built, but you know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to happen yet, because this is only a simulator. If you feel, oh, God's never given me a word, well, maybe if you're out there and you're speaking to that neighbor, God will put something on your lips to say, and you'll have a word. You know, Jesus was at a well. He wasn't in a synagogue. He was at a well, and he told a woman, "You've had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with is not your husband," and the whole city got saved. Don't you underestimate what God will do when you're in this situation. You know, I've said before, you don't need to walk on the water when the boat will do. But when you're stepping out and you're going, well, there's no boat here, but I'm going to invite this person into dinner and I'm going to talk to them and I'm maybe going to share my faith and just say, this is how I got saved. Maybe then you'll be able to walk on the water because you've stepped into the supernatural. In the simulator, who knows the simulator? Because that's what they said at Increase, that this is just a simulator. This is where we practice and do our testing. You know, you can crash a simulator plane and it'll jolt and shake, but you haven't hurt anyone. But when you get out there in the real world, that's when it happens. And so I think it's incredible. And you know, I've really challenged myself. I'm going to be bold. And so this morning in church, I prayed for 3 people outside there, just like that. Someone said, oh, I'm not actually that well. I said, well, I'm going to pray for you quickly. I didn't do a long prayer and make him get on his knees and close eyes and whatever. But I've decided I'm not going to live the way that I was. I want to be bold. And, you know, if you can't pray for someone here in that cafe area on a Sunday morning, you ain't going to do it down at, I nearly said another cafe's name. You're not going to do it when you're down in Kmart, or in Pack and Save, when someone says to you, actually, my leg's sore, my back's sore. If you can't do it here amongst brothers and sisters in the simulator, you're not going to do it there. I believe that if you're part of this church and you're active, when there's an altar call and people come down who need healing, you should be running. So give me a chance. Give me a chance. I want to do this. Because you want to get into that place where you know God is moving and God's doing something. So where do you stand with this internal little process as far as being bold and just changing everything? And so I've been so moved over the last few weeks, and started just before Increase, and it happened at Increase, and then I was mowing the lawn, and I'll tell you what made me cry during my lawn mowing episode. So Francis Chan was just mentioning a little bit about, he had a church. Francis Chan, if you don't know, had a massive church in San Francisco, somewhere that way, and he just believed that God was telling him to leave that church and start a small thing in the inner city in San Francisco. Just speaking to people in their hearts and in their homes. And one of the stories he tells is he met this guy, James. He would just go door knocking. And he met this guy, James. And James was 59 years old and had been addicted to coke and drugs for 40 years. So from the age of 19. And he says he would just hang out in the guy's room. And he says the guy's smoking pot and talking stuff that he's never heard. And eventually Francis just said to him, he said, you know, would you be ready to meet God today? And they're doing, yo, bro, yeah, yeah. And he does the accent much better than me. And Francis said, hang on, I want to read you something. And he's reading the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And he said, by the time he finished the story, the guy was like had goosebumps and was shaking. He said, I'm not ready to meet that God. When he spoke about fire coming down and destroying the altar and the place was full of smoke and shaking, he said, I'm not ready. Tell me about this Jesus. Tell me about this God. He says, you know, he said to him, do you want Jesus in your life? He said, yes, I want to. I need him. And he prayed with him and he kept going back. And about 2 weeks later, he got baptized. This guy got baptized. And then Francis he was like our pastor. He invited him to his home. And this James dude went to his home on his birthday and they had a birthday party for him at his house. And this guy never experienced anything like it in his life. And at the birthday party, it was about the 25th of the month. And he said to Francis, You know, the first of the month is coming up, and for probably the last 25 to 30 years, I've never been clean on the first of the month, because in the state we live, that's when we get our benefit. And he says, normally that's when I can get my next fix. And Francis said, well, this is going to be different. I'm going to come with you. We're going to hang out for the day. Right. And 2 days before he got sick, Francis got sick, and he had the flu. He couldn't even get out of bed, and he said he was moaning at God and getting all cross with God. And he said, this guy's going to blow it, and he's just going to be back where he was. And so he spoke to a guy by the name of Aaron, who was just one of the kids in the church who'd been with him on a few visits, so he sort of knew the guy's house. And so Francis said he was lying in bed. He was even arguing with God, saying, God, you know, this James doesn't need an Aaron. He needs a Francis, man. Aaron hasn't even written any books, man. What is he going to do? And this, you know, and he was just getting in the flesh. And long story short, Aaron called him 2 days later. So what had happened on the birthday, young Aaron knocked on the door of this James, and obviously he recognized him, and he said, hey, and they were hanging out in the room, but he said, you know, what are you going to do with your money when you get it today? And he said, oh, I don't know. And he said, why don't we go open a bank account? You know, you get a little card, and you put your money in the card, and you can use it over the month. Wow, that's pretty novel. And so he took him, and, you know, young Aaron takes James into the bank, and they get a card done, and he gets the card, and he's got a little slip that says what his balance is, and he goes, wow, this is incredible, man. He's a 59-year-old man who's never done that. And he's just amazed, and they're just standing there. And so young Aaron says, man, I want to celebrate. I'm going to take you to lunch. And so they get driving. And unfortunately, he gets lost, and he starts going into probably the worst part of town that he should be, and he shouldn't be with a guy who's got a record like this. And he's starting to panic, and eventually, he sees a place, and it's called Popeye. He said, we're going to go to Popeye. We're just going to eat there and get chicken nuggets, and we're just going to eat in Popeye because we're getting lost now. They're going to there, and they're sitting down. He orders the chicken, and young Aaron says to him, he says, James, how did it all start? And James, eating his chicken nuggets, he says, well, it was a place like this. He said, I was working, I just got a job, 19 years old, and the manager came in after a lunch break, and he had some cocaine. He said, hey, do you want to have a go at this? And he said, I'd smoked a bit of pot before, but whatever. And so I went into the bathroom, like just back there, and I had a go at it, and he says, instantly, I was hooked. I couldn't get enough. My life has been consumed for the last 40 years, just hooked on this stuff. And it's just destroyed everything that I know and everything that I had. This is the first of the first month for ages that I've actually... And he stopped and he just started looking around. And he started getting like... His eyes went big. And he said to James, what's the address? What's the address? And he started shouting. He said, what's the address, Aaron? What's the address? And Aaron, the young kid, was like, what the heck? And he ran to the counter and got the address. And it's 599, whatever the road was. And James starts shouting, this was the place, this was the place. And he says, this was the restaurant, and this was, and he mentioned the name, and that's what it used to be called. And he just started shouting in this place, Popeye. He said, you know, I've been in the desert for 40 years, and God brings me back to this place. I will never, ever again question that there is a God who's brought me back yet tonight. And yeah, give God a hand. I mean, that is absolutely amazing. And this, Aaron calls Francis Chan, and he tells him the story, and you know, he just said, well, I don't know who I'm more excited for James or for Aaron, but just amazing. And you know, all of that came from just hanging out with someone. You will not see the miraculous when you don't need it. But when you cry out to God and say, God, I want to just be available, and I'm going to get that neighbor into my house, and I'm going to, that poor lady over the road, she doesn't wash her car often. Instead of writing on it when you walk past, wash me, I'm going to go wash the car, and I'm going to make a difference. And you know, it's very easy to go and hand out invites to church, but it's a lot harder when you actually got to do something. The Bible says they will know you are Christians by your love. Do your neighbors know you because of your love? Or do they know you because you gripe their lawns on mown, or you're the one who doesn't mow your lawns, or what's the deal? You know, I've been privileged to be in this cafe for the last several weeks, and it's just been amazing the amount of people who've come in who do not go to a church. Just this week, I met a guy who he knew me from the bicycle shop years ago, and we just got talking, and he said, this is an incredible place. And then he said to me, we had a whole little talk about a whole lot of stuff, and he said, man, when I get into trouble, this is the church I'm coming to. And I was like, geez, can you imagine? On the one hand, I'm saying, don't speak that over you, but yeah, you're going to come, yeah. And then I've spoken with some other, I had three ladies sitting at a table, And I'd taken them their coffee, and I made a bit of a joke because I'm not the best carrier. You know, I shouldn't be carrying coffee. The stuff's wobbling all over, and if I'm lucky, I don't spill it. And anyway, I put it down. And I was joking to them. One of them had gone to the bathroom. I was talking to the other two, and I don't know what we were talking about, but as the other woman came back, she just interrupted me. She just like went, "Do you guys know this is a church?" Like, the other two ladies nearly fell off the chair. They were like, "What? Didn't you know? I mean, what are you thinking?" And you know, it got me thinking how sad that actually is. How far from God people can be, how distant people can be even from church. That they don't. I don't believe there's one building in New Zealand I could take almost any of you to and let you arrive on the doorstep and you can go, "Oh, this is a church." She didn't even know that this could have been a church. She said, "I think this is a church." And she was like quite shocked. And that's probably happened to me 3 times now, that people didn't know. And you know what? What an indictment on us. That we are in Tauranga, we got this church, we're saying, "God, we want to change Tauranga for Jesus." But, you know, the figures that Pastor Alan was showing this morning, they're not going to show on the podcast, but man, they were really bad. People who, you know, don't go to church, people who are believers and go once a month. And I'm just thinking, man. And so I've really made a determined effort that I want to change. I don't want to be like this anymore. And so I want to make sure I have spiritual conversations with people. And so I had someone in the car with me this week, and we were going to be for about an hour in one way and an hour back. And I was determined, man, I'm going to talk to this person about just coming to church and stuff. And so we got all the way out there and all the usual banter rubbish on the way back. And then we got that quiet moment out on the toll road. I thought, this is it. And I did. And it was incredible. And that person was at church today. And I just know that when you step out, man, the feeling when I'd finished talking to him, like, "Me turn the volume up here, man, this is good." But I didn't do that because he was still in the car. And just, you know what, when you step out in faith, God will put the words, God will change what you're doing, but you're the one who needs to take the step and make the difference. You know, that verse said, Jesus told the disciples, and he said, "Go ahead and wait till you receive the Holy Spirit that will give you power to be witnesses." That's why we got the Holy Spirit. Not for nice feelings or another language. The Holy Spirit came that we would have power to be witnesses in this earth. Are we being witnesses? And can I challenge you another thing? A witness is not someone who has to convince anyone. A witness is just tell someone what's happened to me. Claude spoke this at Increase. He said, "Just come and see." And that's what it is. You know, you're not there to convince anyone, as if you and I could convince anyone to serve God. But we can just be a witness and say, "Well, actually, this is what I've seen." It's up to that person what they're going to do. And I believe that it's the Holy Spirit that brings that person to the point where when you say it, it makes a difference in their life and it changes their life forever. But if you don't say it, the Holy Spirit's got nothing to water. What seed are you sowing? What are you planting? I want to be a bold witness. I want to be someone that just makes a difference. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but were a demonstration of the Spirit's power." The Holy Spirit is coming to our lives that we can be witnesses with power. And we can bring a great and a radical change in our city and in our neighborhood if we just got out there. And I think for years I've used the excuse, "Well, I've invited them to church." Well, hang on, what about inviting them for dinner? What about inviting them to go for a walk with you or go up the mount and do something? Why would someone come to church when they won't even walk around the mount with you? Are we putting the wrong thing in front of the other thing? Are we just trying to tick some off a list? Well, if I can get my neighbor to come to church, he put his hand up and get saved, job done. Or we're going to walk a journey with this person. I want to get to know this guy. I'm going to walk around the block with him. I'm going to walk around the mount with him until I know him and know what's going on in his life. And then I can say, man, I think God can fix that. God knows something about that. But we put in the cart in front of the horse. Just come to church. That's easy. And I'm not pleased. There's a disclaimer before. Keep inviting people to church. It'll make a radical difference in their life. But I'm challenging you. Don't use that as a scapegoat not to spend time to sow energy and to get involved in that person's life. Honestly, I believe most likely we will not see this place shaking. We won't see the smoke happening here. But when you're outside and you're talking to someone and the power of God moves, that's where you're going to see it happen. Jesus did I think there was one miracle in the Bible that Jesus did in the temple. He got a lot of trouble for it, actually, because it was on a Sabbath. All the other miracles were outside, in people's houses, on the street, on the way somewhere, going somewhere. We come here and we expect miracles. I want to see some signs and wonders. Come on, God. Well, why don't we go out there and see what God is going to do? See if God's going to make a difference in the world and the things that we're doing. James chapter 5, verse 17 to 20 says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. That's the Elijah who called down fire and did incredible things. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. That verse has just said, Elijah was a human, just as we are. No distinction. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Verse 19, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns the sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. How many times have we spoken about a brother or sister that's doing something wrong when we should go and speak to that brother or sister and say, come on, I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want you to stand before God. I just heard this week of a guy who was in his early 50s and he just passed away peacefully in bed, asleep, gone. He served God. The only challenge was when he died, he was in another woman's bed in a hotel. How does he stand before God? What do you say? But what do we, as people who love God, do when we see a brother err? And we see someone talking about someone that he shouldn't be, or we see someone slandering someone. Are we going to be bold enough? Say, God, give me a boldness. I want to take that person out for a coffee and say, man, I don't want you to die and stand before God in this predicament. I want you to live a life that you can just be so excited that it's better for you to leave this body and be with God than what it is to be here. And what about my neighbor? What happens if that neighbor passes away this week? Or there's an accident or a problem in a shower and that kid that irritates you and rides his bicycle up and down when you're trying to get into your street. What happens if something happens to that kid this week? What are we going to do when we stand before God? Won't you all stand with me? And we want to just pray quickly. I'm not going to ask anyone to come forward, but I want to just, and I'm going to ask everyone to have their eyes closed. And I'm going to ask that if you say, man, this has spoken to me, and I want to say, God, make me bold to just share this incredible news, the good news of God. Now, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up as I pray. No one's looking around. This is just you, and my hand is the first hand that is up. Heavenly Father, none of us are looking around, but you see every single hand that is lifted tonight. And God, we just pray that together with a sense of urgency, you will give us a boldness. That we can just cry out for the city of Tauranga and our family and our friends. And that we would be witnesses in this part of the world. God, we want to pray that you would put the words in our mouth. That you would give us the love in our hearts to make it come across genuine. That we would go over and beyond and not just have solutions, but be the solution. And God, we don't want to miss 100% of those chances we don't take. We've got our hand up tonight because we want to take every single chance. Lord God, increase was not a coincidence. What Pastor Alan shared this morning was not a coincidence. You are moving our hearts and you are moving our lives and you are changing our minds. We do not want to be the same. We want to be witnesses. We want to share our faith boldly. And so we pray, give us a boldness like we have never had before. And Holy Spirit, put words in our mouth and lead us. And let us be moved by compassion when we see people. And God, let us be eager and zealous for the gifts that we can pray for people and see miracles and see healing in their life, that everyone will point to you and say, there is only one God. And God, we worship you tonight and we praise you because you are the only one God. And we thank you that you've spoken into our lives and the lives of people in this place tonight. And we just give you all the glory and the honor. God, you are amazing. And we love you, Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Awesome, guys. Give God a hand. Yeah, God, we worship you. We love you, Lord. Amen.